Saddle up your horses.
Welcome to Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter. This is the program that proclaims liberty to the captives of our beloved nation, where truth trumps political correctness, where the uncompromised Word of God exposes the works of darkness and sets free those held hostage behind the iron curtain of a shamelessly biased media. For God has called us to stand for truth, and having done all to stand, we will stand. It's time to fight the good fight of faith to preserve our country, our families, fortunes, and sacred honor, to protect our property, our schools, and yes, maybe even salvage some of our churches. America, we have a trail to blaze. It's time to saddle up. It's time to ride. Now, here is your host of Red Sky Radio, Rob Walter.
Well, hello, America, and welcome to the Robin Walters Show. This glorious day of, when are we broadcasting here? November 12th, actually. Boy, November is flying by already. I'm going to start the program with good news, going to end with good news and encouragement. But I'm also going to answer some questions. I get questions via email. I rarely answer them on the air. I typically will send an email back to answer a party's question if I can. But when the questions deal with, let's say, bigger issues than just something that individual person might be asking about, then I want to address it generally. So the first question that's come up is, if I'm Robin Walters' show, why do I keep playing the intro to Red Sky Radio? Many have wondered that. The reason is twofold, but the primary reason is it's sort of like, let me see if I can come up with a good analogy. I've not had a spouse pass away. But for some of my clients who've had a spouse pass away, they say that there's a period of time that they keep the wedding ring on. They don't take it off. If she died on Tuesday, he doesn't take it off on Wednesday. It may be a month. It may be 6 months. It may be a year. Well, this intro to Red Sky Radio was done by a dear friend of many of us, Ed Knutson, the manager of KKVV in Las Vegas. And he passed away of a combination of COVID and pneumonia several months back, I think, in late August or early September. I've continued in part to play this just kind of as an honor to him. There's going to come a point where it needs to be changed. It will be changed. But right now, I haven't quite taken the ring off, if that makes any sense. Just out of respect and love for the guy. But there'll come a time where, and it's come and it's approaching very soon. I just kind of sense it. It's coming. The second thing is, I haven't really found the person to replace Ed to redo the intro. So we're praying about that. And then, is there a third reason? No, I guess there isn't. But moving on to question number two that arose after I asked for prayer last week, which I appreciate, whether or not I should enter an Arizona state legislative or senatorial race. And the question that came up in that context, does running for that office mean that this would be the end of the Robin Walters Show? And the question is absolutely not. I would continue this program before I would run for the office. I mean, at least that's my sense of calling at this point, which relates to something else I wanted to say briefly, and I wanted to get off this topic. People have said, well, is that your ambition? The answer is absolutely no. I have no ambition in the political arena. None. They say, well, why would you run? Because if it's ambition, it's for you. It's about yourself. It's how far you can. That's what ambition deals with, what you want or think you need. No, if I ran, it would only be because it's a calling. And a calling is not about what's good for me, myself, and I. A calling is about what's good for everyone else. And in fact, the calling may be costly to the one who has the call. I mean, you listen to the introduction of this program. you know, our lives, our fortunes, our sacred honor may be all at risk and standing for the Lord. But we stand nonetheless because the prize is greater than the affliction, which is relatively light and brief compared to the glory that awaits us. So there's no ambition here whatsoever. Is there a calling? I'm sensing that there is. And I'm talking with people and continuing to pray about it and would soon make an announcement. So that was question number two that arose this week. Question number three that arose this week was, why is it that the left does not seem to have a problem with obvious and increasingly runaway inflation? Now, before I answer this question, I want to insert something. If you do have a question, you can send it to me at robinwaltershow@gmail.com or robinwalter.net. Either one of those are the website, but you can reach me at therobinwaltershow@gmail.com would be the best way to reach me, or info@redskyradio.net. They're both available, and you can get both of those email addresses off from the website, which is robinwalter.net. So, but I don't want to suggest that I'm the Bible answer man. I am not. I sort of know what I know, and I kind of know what I don't know. I mean, I know that I should not speak of anything unless I can speak reasonably authoritatively. Otherwise, I just need to shut up and just say, well, you know what? I'm working on that myself or something. But if you have a question that might be something that other listeners would want to hear and you think that you're representative of those listeners, please feel free to pass it on. Now, this is a kind of question I might otherwise pass on itself. Why does the left seem to be okay with runaway inflation? Which is, by the way, all of Joe, no brains, I'm your left-wing puppet, Biden, responsibility. But there are actually three things that the left has no problem with. Number one is that when you have inflation, the government gets to pay its future debts. I'm sorry, its current debts with cheaper dollars in the future. I mean, you think about it here for a second. Let's suppose you borrowed $50,000 from somebody. You got $50,000 of their money now, and you have to pay them back $50,000 next year or the year after that. Well, let's suppose that things have gone up and inflation has gone up, and in a couple of years, $50,000 is only worth $42,000 in the money of the time in which you borrowed it. You see, the government borrows today, it pays back in the future, but with inflation, it's paying back with cheaper dollars because the dollar isn't worth as much. So the government loves inflation from that standpoint. It's bothered by inflation from the standpoint that they also have to hike Social Security and other things that are tied to cost of living. But they're looking at changing that. I hate to alarm people, but that's what the left does. They don't think it's your money. They think it's their money. And, of course, their money is your money, and they love playing with other people's money, which they call their own. Reason number two that they don't mind inflation, they collect more in taxes on inflation-produced higher wages. Now, you see, inflation-produced higher wages does not equal an increase in the standard of living. You have to understand this. So if the standard of living, cost of living goes up, let's suppose 10%. You think, well, I broke even, I got a 10% raise to match the increase in the cost of living. You just lost. You lost again. Why? Because your 10% cost of living is a solid 10%. You got to pay 10% more. But when you get 10% more in wages, how much goes to FICA? How much goes to the state? How much goes to the federal government? So you get a 10% increase in wages, you actually may only have about a 6.5% increase in net income to offset a 10% increase in the cost of living. Why does the left love that? Because it drives more people into the arms of being dependent on Uncle Sam. Because that's all the left wants, is control. They're demon-possessed. The devil only ever wanted control. It's why Jesus was tempted the way he was in the wilderness. Why? Satan wants control. It's all he's ever wanted because he got tossed out of heaven and he's been ticked off ever since. Number three, and this may actually be number one, inflation destroys a nation. Just remember that. Inflation destroys a nation. The Democrats aren't builders. They're destroyers. They came to steal, kill, and destroy. Yeah, does that sound familiar? It ought to. So what this does is it's going to lead to a blame game, which because the left owns the media is simply the marketing and advertising agency for the Democrats, they will always blame it on somebody else. Frequently, inflation leads to war. If you can't blame it on anybody domestically, you will blame it on somebody internationally, and then that leads to war. It frequently has. Now, just to let you know, there was, and maybe you've seen this because it's been around a long time, but it's a political cartoon of pre-World War II German inflation. I'm sorry, pre-World War I German inflation. And the money became so ridiculously worthless. The political cartoon shows this man with a wheelbarrow full of dollar bills that he's carrying around because it takes, you know, like $8 million to buy a loaf of bread. That's how ridiculous the inflation was. I mean, I'm making up the number, but you get the point. The wallet, the billfold, as we'd say in Michigan, the wallet on the West Coast, same thing. Wouldn't hold all that money. In the cartoon, there's a man, a thief who comes along and robs him. He takes the wheelbarrow, dumps the dollar bills out because they're worthless, and takes off with a wheelbarrow because that was the only thing that had value. That's the end game in inflation. Inflation leads to chaos, to the introduction of full-on socialist government, all of which leads back to home plate again, right? That is, you become totally and entirely dependent upon the federal government. Remember this. Liberalism is nothing other than socialism in diapers. That's right. Liberalism is nothing but socialism in diapers. That's where we're headed. And the Democrats are pooping their diapers like crazy because we are on a fast track to socialism, which is why you need to, if you haven't heard it, the October 29th program From the Bible to Braveheart, you absolutely have to hear that because it deals with the issue of secession, separation, a proper biblical revolution, right? When tyranny becomes law, revolution becomes duty, but only the right kind of revolution. Now, why is this of such incredible concern? Because, well, not only where we are, but if you look at the Department of Justice recent publication on terrorism, and they list as the number one issue of domestic terrorism being those who refuse the organized opposition to the COVID fake vaccine. Look it up. DOJ. Number one domestic terror threat, opposition to the COVID crappy vax. That's right. So if you oppose it, our Department of Injustice is considering you a domestic terrorist. This is why Arizona needs to leave the union. Texas needs to leave the union. Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska, South Dakota, North Dakota, and more on those two states later, North and South Dakota, need to get out of here. Missouri, Iowa, Arkansas, Mississippi, Tennessee, Kentucky, Indiana, Michigan, Georgia, Alabama, Florida, South Carolina, forget North Carolina and Virginia North. They don't have the muscle to pull it off. I don't think there's any other state in the West that would leave except Wyoming, maybe Montana, maybe Idaho, but they are getting pressed with so many stupid Californians and Washingtonians rushing in there with left-wing ideas. They're tired of smelling the poop that they dropped in those states, and they think that they can go and just do the same thing to another state and not smell anything. They spread the problem. Got to keep them out. That's why I said when we did the program on secession, whatever state leaves, they need to do it right by immediately outlawing abortion, immediately outlawing queer marriage, immediately outlawing a whole bunch of things that will make sure that Amazon and Facebook and Google and anybody else that set up offices in Austin, Texas or some other place, they get up and they get their dairies out and they go back to California where they can slaughter all the children on the altar of Molech as they want and call it a fantastic ritual with blood dripping from Gavin Newsom's lips. Who, by the way, nobody has seen him since he went public with his video getting his booster shot back in October. He said he's got family issues. Yeah, that sucker's probably sick as a dog. Who knows? Maybe he's dead from the beloved booster. Well, time to shift topics here. You know, you have heard me speak at great length, maybe even ad nauseum. Maybe you're tired of me talking about it as to the state of our education system, which is no longer education in this country. It's an indoctrination system at the government level. Get your kids, your grandkids out of government schools. Forget your vacation. Forget whatever. Use your 401k, IRA, whatever to help children and grandchildren get a decent non-government education. Scripture says you train up a child in the way they should go, and they won't depart from it. Well, you know what? If you've trained them up in the way of secular humanism, they won't depart from that either, absent the grace of God stepping in and getting saved and delivered from government education and everything that comes with it, from critical race theory to queer this and queer that and sexual debauchery in the name of sex education and secular humanism. There's nothing good that comes out of it. There's nothing. I know there are some bright kids in government schools? Yes, but not because of the schools, because they're born bright kids. They're out there. But don't think for a second that the government school really has anything to do with that. You know, in the science and math area, in the recent testing, guess what country proved number one? China. China was number one. Where was the U.S. in developed nations? Number 25. We stink. But what? There was something that we were number one in, though. Guess what that might be? We are number one in self-esteem. In other words, there's no nation whose kids feel better about doing so crappy as U.S. students. Everybody's a winner. Everybody's number one. Everybody's student of the month. While we work hard to institutionalize mediocrity. I'm at the point where mediocrity would be a high-achieving goal in government education. The government doesn't want you in charge of your children. Witness the Virginia election. It's pretty clear. They think they are the parents. Now, you have heard me in the past talk about just how incredibly dumb, I guess is all I can say, is my experiences with various cashiers and checkers at different locations, whether it's Panda Express, Taco Bell. There was a Taco Bell, and I say this with all due respect. I have nothing against people that are mentally retarded, but one of them was running the cash register, had no concept of the most minimally basic math skills ever. And the one from the Panda Express, she could not understand that when my bill came to $8.98, I didn't want 2 cents. I gave her a 10 and 3 cents. So I said, look, I got enough pennies already. I just give me back a buck and change, five cents. She couldn't figure it out. She tried every way. She punched it in. She couldn't come up with it. She called the manager over. The manager couldn't figure it out. The manager pulled out her smartphone to do the math. $10.03 minus $8.98. I couldn't believe it. Now, in all fairness to all these cashiers, I ate there yesterday. Same place, different cashier, same price. I'm in a rut. It comes to $8.98 every time I eat there. So I gave her a 10, and I think it was just a 10. So this is $1.02, but she didn't run it through the machine. She got it out. Here's your 2 cents. You know, she was quick. She was sharp. And guess what? She was Asian. She was Chinese. She's part of the number one in the class, or number two is Koreans, or three is Japanese, or whatever the order might be. I don't know. So what I'd like to share with you, this is a wake-up, if there ever was one. This comes from a 1924 Iowa State 8th grade examination question book. Now, 97 years ago in the state of Iowa, you had to pass a test in 8th grade to be advanced to high school, to 9th grade. They had to pass an exam. And I'm just going to give you a couple of the questions from this. This is right out of that 97-year-old book. The arithmetic question. A wall is 77 feet long, 6.5 feet high, and 14 inches thick. It's built of bricks that cost $9 per thousand. What was the entire cost of the bricks if 22 bricks were sufficient to make 1 cubic foot of wall? Now, I could have done that problem not as an eighth grader, but as a fifth grader. Now, but I'm not trying to tell you I'm real smart or anything, but I grew up in retail. My dad had a lumber yard. We dealt with board feet, cubic feet all the time. By the time I got to that in whatever junior high, it was old stuff, yawn, ho-hum. That was the eighth grade arithmetic question. I'm wondering, could even 30% of high school seniors figure that question out? Honestly, I doubt it. Geography. What waters does a ship pass through in going from Duluth, Minnesota to Buffalo? What would the boat be apt to be loaded with? And what would it likely be loaded with on its return trip? Physiology. Okay, it's called physiology in eighth grade. Beginning with food in the mouth, trace the course of digestion, naming the juices with which the food is mixed and the results. What is the reason that spitting on the street is dangerous to the health of a community? Now, you might say, what's the point of this stuff today? Well, you know what? If people understood their body, how it worked, the juices, the metabolism, and all of that stuff, we would probably not be eating 8,000 pounds of junk food each year, which causes people to be 350 pounds or what have you, with multiple comorbidities, if they even understood or cared about their body, but they don't. The question for civil government, and I'll stop with this because you're going to get the point. Name 3 township, 3 county, and 3 state officers and state what office each person holds. Why do so many people dislike holding township offices? So obviously, you know, that was a different time. I'm not expecting that would be the case because a lot of places no longer have townships. But can you name the mayor and one person on the city council of the city in which the eighth grade resides, what their eighth grader reside? What is their job? You see, I have thought, and I'm going to make this suggestion to a school in Michigan, that they create a class. I will help create the class called Biblical Civics. Biblical Civics. Our kids don't know jack, and the teachers don't want them to know jack, probably because the teachers don't know jack to be able to teach jack. Teach jack. But they also don't want them to know that this is a constitutional republic. It's not the mood or the swings of the masses by which we vote. That's what Thomas Jefferson called a mobocracy. But just because this was different times, and as the author of this one piece says, you know, let's not try to romanticize the past too much, and I agree with that. But he said, neither should we miss the point that the past has produced a remarkably educated society without bankrupting taxpayers in the process. Wow. Well, but what do we got now? We got a world where we just rely on technology. So enter Al Gore. So Gore the other day is shooting off his big fat mouth about how they're going to be able to track down those super emitters of global emissions. The super emitters. Well, you know what? If they want to depopulate the world, this country has more registered Democrats than Republicans. They could probably start by doing that, huh? Would that be the answer? Of course, I say that in jest. But the fact of the matter is there's a lot of hot air out there, and it's coming from more, not exclusively, from one party than the other. So let me quote Al Gore. I'm trying to say it the way Rush Limbaugh used to say it. And, you know, this is a digression, but I got to thinking about Rush the other day. Has he been gone a year yet? I'm not sure exactly when he passed away, but maybe a year, maybe not quite a year. This world has changed three times over. God bless you, Rush. You got out of here when you could. He'd be having a heart attack under the press. I mean, with what is going on, he would have to be on 6 to 8 hours a day to even begin to cover it. So this is what Al Gore said. We get data consistently from 300 existing satellites. Okay, that should be a little concern. More than 11,000 ground-based, air-based, sea-based sensors. That should be even a bigger problem. Multiple internet data streams. And we are using artificial intelligence, which apparently he's including himself in that. I don't know. He says all that information is combined with visible light, infrared, all of the other information that is brought in, and we can now accurately determine where the greenhouse gas emissions are coming from. And next year, this is just the other day, so next year we will have it down to the level of every single power plant, every single refinery, every single large ship, every plane, every waste dump, and we'll have the identities of the people who are responsible for each of those greenhouse gas emission streams. Now, I'm stopping mid-sentence here for a reason. What does he plan to do? Shut down all airplane travel, all train travel, all shipping? Well, I guess they have. They don't give a rat's rear end whether the ships come in Los Angeles or other ports, unless, of course, it costs the Democrats an election. Now, for the second half of that sentence, which is ridiculously eye-opening, startling, and scary if you don't think that we aren't entering the end times. He goes on to say, I'm sorry, and we go on to a break. Don't go away. I've got to finish this sentence. Robin Walter Show. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter is a listener-supported program. Please know that 100% of your contribution goes to pay for airtime so that as many people as possible are able to hear that the Word of God has answers to every meaningful problem and issue in life. No one gets paid a salary at Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter, but in response to your support, we pledge to bring you the most timely and critical information you need to help make informed decisions in this age of media bias and a growing hostility to all things Christian. Your partnership makes you one of the watchmen on the wall with us, as described in the book of Ezekiel. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Okay, finishing the quote from the infamous Al Gore. I guess I better read the whole thing here again. Well, the second portion of it. Next year we'll have the level, we'll have it down to a level of identifying every single power plant, refinery, every large ship, every plane, every waste dump, and we'll have the identities of the people responsible for each of these greenhouse gas emission streams. And if this is a second half that I didn't get to that you've got to hear, and if investors or governments or civil society activists want to hold them responsible, they will have the information upon which to base their action to hold them responsible. Notice, we're not just talking government and investors. He includes this new group, this new identity that has emerged called, quote, civil society activists, end quote. Well, first of all, there's nothing civil about these individuals. This is code word for thugs. This is code for 21st century brown shirts. This is code for Occupy Wall Street, a code for Antifa, a code for BLM. These are your stupid, demonic civil society activists, which I will just lump in one defining characteristic of all of them called thugs. They push their way, intimidate, vandalize, damage, threaten, do whatever is necessary to dispossess people, to shut them down. Civil society activists are nothing but left-wing anarchists. You have to know that. They are left-wing anarchists, which Al Gore, I don't know why I shouldn't spend any more time on him. There's only one thing Al Gore has ever done well, and that's his impersonation of a beached whale. And, of course, I say that with all due respect. This sent in by Tim from Missouri. Thank you, brother, for this one. I love this one. It's worth quoting on the air. Pharma funds the media. The media funds your fears. Your fears fund your disease, and your disease funds pharma. That is the left-wing cycle of life, but better described as from a personal, financial, physical, or societal level, the cycle of death, the death of a republic. Well, I want to get to some scripture here. It's about time, isn't it? You're probably ready for that, but maybe you won't be ready for this scripture. Who knows? As you know from past programs, I love the Old Testament, not to the exclusion or better than the New Testament, of course, but I love it. There's so much instruction in the Old Testament, so much I get out of it. And there is a passage out of 1 Kings chapter 22. I want to read to you because it struck me this week as instructive of what is going on in this country in one capacity or one respect. And that is the pressure to conform to the COVID jab. I mean, I have a very close friend who took the jab 2 weeks ago so that he could get into court before the Ninth Circuit. He had to have the jab to get in there. He said, I got to take it. And I thought, you know, why did you do that? And he's already had COVID. So he actually has reduced his immunity. He didn't know that. If you have had COVID and then you take the shot, you actually are reducing your level of immunity, not adding to it. But why? He was pressured to be able to do his job as he perceives it, in which case I think he just find another job. you do something that doesn't require that than to just give in. It you know, he's a dear friend. I understand his challenge. I've got family members who are challenged this way. But listen to this passage and tell me if you get out of this what I got out of it reading it this week. And it just said that there were years of war between Syria and Israel. I'm reading from 1 Kings chapter 22. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And I just want to let you know, Jehoshaphat was a good king, by and large. He didn't make good decisions all the time, and this one was a bad one. But he was one of the more righteous kings in the Judean line of the Judean monarchy, monarchical line, I guess is the way you'd say that. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, "Do you not know that Ramoth and Gilead is ours and should still be ours, but we need to take it out of the hand of the king of Syria," right? Right. So he said unto Jehoshaphat, "Will you go with me to battle in Ramoth-Gilead?" And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "I am as you are, my people is your people, and my horses is your horses." Now, lesson number one, don't go being unequally yoked with somebody who is wicked. The king of Israel was ridiculously wicked. This is Ahab. And Ahab was as bad as they get. And it said he was worse than some of the others, largely because his wife Jezebel stirred up evil within him, because Jezebel was bad news. So he agrees to with a wicked king to become, to form an alliance. And then Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, "Well, inquire, I pray, at the word of the Lord today." So in other words, Jehoshaphat says, "Yes, I'll go with you, but let's hear what the Lord has to say." Well, obviously, it should be the other way around. People should not be getting shots or doing any of this kinds of stuff or vaccines, and then afterwards asking, "Lord, what's your will?" Now, I've had people say they absolutely heard from the Lord that they were supposed to take the jab. Well, I said, "Well, okay, then claim Mark 16. If you drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm you." Maybe that's what you have to claim. Or whatever you do, do in faith. And then maybe they will be fine. It happened to be the J&J shot. I don't know, but I'm not here to distinguish between the three jabs. But then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, which were 400, and said unto them, "Shall we go up against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I not go?" And they said, "Go up, the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of our king." And Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him?" So Jehoshaphat knows that these 400 are yin-yang Baal-worshipping prophets, false prophets, but he's already agreed to do this. But then he says, "Can't we get a real prophet?" So the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, "There's one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, because he doesn't prophesy good concerning me, but only evil." Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, "Hasten, get Micaiah, the son of Imlah." And the king of Israel said, or the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king, sat on their thrones. And Zedekiah, the son of Chenaah, made him horns of iron. And he said, "Thus saith the Lord, with these horns thou shalt push the Syrians until you have consumed them." And all the prophets prophesied, saying the same thing. "Go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand." Then, this is a verse I want you to really grab hold of. "And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto Micaiah, saying, Behold, now the words of the prophets, they declare all, declare good unto the king with one mouth. So let your word, I pray thee, be like theirs, be with the word, be one of them, and speak that which is good." This jumped out and hit me in the face. This is this messenger to Micaiah. Are like all the people that are saying, "Look, just go along with this. Do what the government says. They want you. Do what your employer says. Do what maybe your pastor says. Go get the vaccine or what have you. Because everybody else, we all agree you should be getting this." No, we don't all agree. But all those that are on the media agree, because those are the only ones that are allowed on the mainstream media. But you, yeah, I'm talking to you and I and anybody else that ultimately hears this program, we need to have a spirit of Micaiah, one that's not rooted in fear. You know, last week's program, the real pandemic is fear. If you haven't heard it, you need to hear it. This could be the part two. Fear is the pandemic. But not for Micaiah. It should not matter to you or to me or to any of us what 400 false prophets say, 400 government workers say, 400 administrative bureaucrats of this and that, 400 administrative people in academia say. I don't care what 400 doctors say. Because for the 400 doctors that say to get the jab, if you could have your way, you'll find hundreds that will say don't do it. We just don't get to hear from them. You have to dig for that information. But you stand on what God has shown you, what God is ministering in your spirit. So Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord says unto me, that will I speak. And he goes on to say that following the prophets, the 400 prophets, is disaster. And Ahab will die. The prophets are all wrong. And, of course, then Micaiah, guess what happens to poor Micaiah? He gets sent to prison for his faithfulness to God. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, put this fellow in prison, verse 27, feed him with the bread of affliction and with the water of affliction until I come in peace. Meaning, after I win this battle, Micaiah, we'll let your sorry rear end out of jail. Micaiah said, if you return at all in peace, then the Lord hath not spoken by me. Wow. And of course, he didn't. Ahab took an arrow to the chest. He didn't make it. He died. He bled out. The dogs licked up the blood. In fulfillment of Elijah's prophecy, Micaiah was right. He had to spend time in the slammer, the big house. He got sent up the river for serving God. But he was blessed. This is what we need today. Are you a modern-day Micaiah to stand up to the king? To stand up to even those who don't support the king, but they have compromised and have gone into the king with some sort of an alliance just to be able to do what? I don't know, get along? Like businesses whose CEOs know that the mandate is wrong, but they go along so that they can keep their government contracts? Stand up. God's not leading you to the unemployment line. He's not leading you to the soup kitchen unless he's there to serve soup and work. You know, everybody is against this God-given, God-inspired individualism. I don't care whether it's a government, entertainment industry, academia. It doesn't really matter. And why? Because every single person that stands up, like Micaiah, because of this God-given individualism, meaning I will stand with God before I stand with you guys, becomes a conviction on the sin and disobedience and wickedness of all those who are like packs of lemmings are marching off the cliff behind a Pied Piper named Joe Biden. So Jehoshaphat gets the word of the Lord. But what is, does he heed it? No. He still goes into battle. Why? Because he's fearful. He's fearful what of Ahab and the peers will think of him. Fear. Fear has always been the driving force of the bulk of humanity. Not always in pandemic form like it is now. No, but it has always been the driving force. Okay, so let me ask, who do you think is behind Joe Biden? We know he doesn't have any brains. If he's got them, they're in his rear end, and his rear end is empty. He's a consummate empty suit. And I, you know, only apologize to Brooks Brothers because they can't control what suits end up empty, can they? No, they can't. So who's behind this? Because we know that he's a left-wing puppet. Somebody's pulling his strings. I know that I know that I know in my knower. His communication stream runs through Barack Obama. Now, I'm not saying Obama is the one who's conceiving all the evil. He can do a lot of evil on his own. But he's the one who has access to Joe Biden, passing on whether it's Soros information, who knows, from the left. Because Obama sucks. Like I've said, he's only glad that there's finally now a worse president in modern U.S. history than he, being Joe Biden, is actually worse than Barack. So that's why he likes Barack, or that's why he likes Biden. But Obama is feeding him. He is. I am so sick and tired of the news media saying, "How can he be so? How can Biden be so clueless? How can he be so dumb?" Look, he is. He's a space cadet. He's gone. He's a useful idiot. But somebody is feeding him that has a direct pipeline that would be exclusive of but a few people to know who it is. And I will guarantee you that is Barack Hussein Obama. Guaranteed. He is the man behind the curtain. Telling Biden what to say. Now, he may not be saying everything directly to Joe, but it's coming from Obama. Well, all right. I told you I'm going to end with a piece of encouragement, and I am. But I want to say one thing here. Also out of Kings, 2 Kings, I talked 2 weeks ago about From the Bible to Braveheart, the need for secession, where revolution becomes duty when tyranny becomes law. It just depends what the revolution looks like. And is it for the right cause? If you go to 2 Kings, you'll read about two rebellions in Edom and Libna. Libnah. They both revolted against Judah. Wrong? No. They never attempted to overthrow the government in Jerusalem, but because of the gross, heinous sin now emanating from Jerusalem itself, they rebelled. They revolted for one reason: to be independent and free from the debauchery and sin which had become the defining characteristic of Israel's national government. A righteous revolt. Not to overthrow Washington, D.C., but just to leave. Just to leave. It's why I'm contemplating this election. Ambition? No. Last thing in the flesh I want to do, a calling. I think it's so because it seems to be that only a state has the ability to turn the rudder on this ship, not the federal government. Only the states, individually and then collectively, will be able to change the course of this nation. We cannot rely on Washington. We just found that out. And one way to start this, one way to do this, which I haven't mentioned, which I think is a God-given idea. Okay, so Biden wants to shut down another pipeline because he's not happy with gas at $4.50 to $5 a gallon. He's shooting for $6 or $7. This jackass is trying to drive us to our knees, and this is directly from Obama because Obama was the one who said gas is going to have to get ridiculously expensive, run the oil companies out of business until we finally get over to solar. Well, guess what? How on earth could I have driven across the entire country last week on an electric car? Try that. Sorry, we've gone 53 miles now. It's time for us to stop for 2 hours and get recharged. Oh, where is that charging station here in rural Oklahoma? Obama's behind this, so this is what we need to do. Instead of Edom and Libna revolting, meaning just seceding, we need North Dakota and South Dakota. And what happens when they secede? We open up the pipeline, the Keystone Pipeline. and just bring it into North Dakota, South Dakota, build the refineries, and ship it to the states where we have governors with brains and morals. Chuck Biden and his left-wing libtards. Sorry for the redundancy. That's what you got to do. This is how you revolt and rebel righteously. And God will take care of us. You know, His love is perfect. His love is so beyond our description of or understanding that we need to be able to trust Him in the worst and darkest of times. We need to be the Micaiahs. We need to not fear. Fear is debilitating. Fear is bondage. I know of great people who say they took the jab because they were a frontline care worker. They were taking care of some older person or somebody. You know what? I'm sorry, love those people, but I don't believe them. I think that's rooted in fear. Fear is a driver. Faith is a motivator. Fear will drive you to your destruction. Faith is a motivator and will take you to your knees to march forward, to be like Gideon's men, the 300 that wouldn't bow down and lick the water face down but brought the water up to their face. The ones who were ready for battle. It doesn't take a lot, but it does take a few. And Micaiah was the only prophet that we know of at that time speaking like this, or is Elijah too, but he wasn't present in this. How many Elijahs? Elijah got fearful of Jezebel. He fled. But Micaiah stood up to Ahab, to the 400 prophets that Ahab had that were all now threatening him, one of whom ends up slapping Micaiah and said, "So where did the Spirit of God leave me as a prophet when it went over to you, Micaiah?" And so what does Micaiah say? Well, he said, "You know what? You're going to find out, Jack." Well, he didn't actually say Jack. But he said that, "You know what? You will not see the deliverance that will come. You're going to die." But whatever. You know, Micaiah said tough things. These are tough times. We got to be ready to say tough things. And God will take care of us and preserve us until such time as we have served His purpose and we no longer need to be preserved. I have made it so clear, I don't want to go on the golf course. I don't want to go in a hospital bed. I don't want to go playing gin rummy. I don't want to go basically even sitting in a pew in a church. I want to go with my boots on. However I'm removed, when my time is up, let it be in the pulpit or doing a speech or a radio program or something where I'm working actively for the kingdom of God to advance the cause of righteousness. You know, I'm up to 9 grandchildren. I'm not saying that with any measure of pride. I'm just telling you why I do what I do. But if your children don't motivate you, maybe your grandchildren will. And if you don't have any children or grandchildren, maybe it's your nieces and nephews. But you've got a calling. You have a calling to stand up for just such a time as this. You may be tired of hearing me say this, but if you weren't made for this time, consider this. If you weren't made for this time, you wouldn't have been born in this time. You'd have been born back in the 50s. Which was just a great outpouring of righteousness in this country. And churches were filled. We were prosperous. And we were moral. Not perfect, but we were moral. Still making progress on things such as civil rights. Still a work in process in a number of areas. But it wasn't a case of where were we. It was a case of being headed in the right direction. Now we are headed in the wrong direction. And if you could not handle this, you wouldn't be here now. So I am telling you, just as God spoke to Gideon. And when he said, the angel said, "O mighty man of valor." And Gideon's response is basically, "What? You talking to me? What? You talking to me?" He looks around. He doesn't consider himself a mighty man of valor, and he even excludes himself. "I'm from a little family, the least of the tribes. I don't have this, I don't have that." But there comes an event, which I don't need to get into, where Gideon realizes that the prophetic word was indeed for him. He was a mighty man of valor, and he went on to accomplish in the name of the Lord more than he could ever possibly think or imagine. That is you, O mighty men and O mighty women of valor. Sit tall on the saddle. You ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you. Let's talk to you next week.